kind woman. She lived till 93 years old. But it's never the right time. Never perfect timing. Nor could it ever be. No one can ever have enough of life with others, especially with so many others who adored her, and she had the good fortune of being surrounded throughout her lifetime, not just towards the end of her life, but throughout her lifetime with great friends and, of course, family and relatives. I know that not by being one of her close friends, but just seeing her from the various times during either community events or actually even one time our paths crossed with my family and she was with friends in Lake Chelan, and she was just this wonderful, sweet woman that when she engaged you in a conversation, you knew she was just only talking to you and there were no distractions. And that is difficult to discern by one or two encounters. But when it happens over and over again, you know it's genuine. She was married to her dear husband, Edward, for 52 years. He passed away quite some time ago, and I can only imagine life was never the same for her. But she would never let her burdens be upon others. It's part of her unselfish character and disposition. She's very close with her family and close with her friends. And I can't name all of her friends, but I know she had a very close group of friends. Even when we were together, by happenstance at Lake Chelan, she was with her friends, celebrating life, celebrating just a good time. We all know this saying.
Thank you.
Or maybe we don't, but I'll share it with you. You shall love your neighbor as much as you would love yourself. And Jews and non-Jews alike are probably very familiar with this expression. And it comes from the third book of the Bible, in the book of Leviticus. In Hebrew, it's Ve'ahavta l're'acha kamocha. That's its source. It's not a new saying. It's ages old, and as I mentioned, it comes from the Bible. But if you just recite that verse in English, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you will miss a huge nuance that is embedded in one of the words in Hebrew, that you would only know it if you familiarize yourself with the Hebrew. Ve'ahavta, you shall love, l're'acha, kamocha, you shall love, your re'acha, does mean neighbor, but it also means your spouse. In fact, even in modern Hebrew, and at Jewish weddings today, the word re'im ahuvim are beloved ones to each other, and it means the spouse. So you might think that you're supposed to, if you just hear the English, you might think, love your neighbor as yourself, but it might preclude you from loving your spouse as much as you love yourself. And unfortunately, you know, there are times when people treat others better than they treat their own family members. Not so with this wonderful woman, nor her husband. They were tight. As she was to him, he was to her. And as I always say, if you ever want to compete, compete with who loves one more. And that is the best competition between a husband and a wife. And I think from what I'm hearing, from what I saw in the few occasions that we were together, she was that kind of a person. She had a great smile. She had, as I mentioned, many friends and even friendship is not taken for granted. And I'm going to direct your attention one more time to rabbinic literature where it talks about friends. In the ancient old Mishnah, which is the legal code that many of the rabbinic laws were formulated, there's one book of the Mishnah that has no laws, no legislature in it, rather. It's just really, really good advice for being a good human being. And it's called Pirkei Avot, the Ethics of the Fathers. And one of the adages that they tell us is, again, I will tell you in Hebrew and translate, Kene Lecha Chaver, which means make sure you acquire for yourself a friend in your life. If you don't have friends, even psychologists have told us, you will live longer, you will be happier, you will be healthier if you have true friendship. And I think all of us can attest to that. But the word, again, used in Hebrew for acquire is the same word that we use in Hebrew for purchase. Kene lecha chaver. So could they possibly have meant buy yourself a friend? Most, yes, indeed. Because a transaction requires a give and a take. You cannot be a one-sided friend. It has to be mutual. And you have to give of yourself when you're taking from your friend whatever that friendship consists of. And this she was too. You cannot be can't have accomplished friendships by accident. It means you are by definition, by default, been with as many friends, and they were close friends that she has, and vice versa. They were giving and they were taking in the exact manner that our Mishnah tells us. Kene lecha chaver, acquire, purchase for yourself. Whatever it doesn't mean with monetary medium, but it means give something and get something for the friendship. And that's why she had this happy demeanor. And it was contagious. And it cannot be happy and contagious for so many years without it being genuine. And this she was. She had another great attribute that when I was speaking to the family earlier, one word, if you had one word to describe one of the greatest attributes of Pearl, your mother, what would it be? And Janice told me, she thought, empathy. That's a big word. What's the difference between sympathy and empathy? We use those words. I'm about to raise your hand. It's okay if it is. Sympathy, that's okay, very sweet. Sympathy is you agree in feeling with somebody, you agree with what they're feeling. Empathy is, I'll use a word that we hear in modern parlance all the time, it's you agree vicariously, you actually adopt, and you participate in the other's pain. Not physically necessary, but it's a much more connected. She had empathy, according to her family, and I believe it, because that is one of the greatest compassions that somebody can have and possess in fostering friendships. An empathetic person is going to be sensitive, not just in the areas of their interhuman relationships, but they're going to have empathy, and they're going to have sensitivity in every walk of life. Because we are not capable, the human mind is not capable of compartmentalizing our emotions. If we're sad, very sad about one thing, there's a good chance you're going to be very sensitive and emotional about something else. And if you have a great capacity to love and to be happy, it's not just going to be love and happiness in one aspect of your life, it's going to flow and overflow into many aspects of your life. And this was Pearl Cohn. She was, even from a distance, you could tell the kind and sensitive individual that she was. So much can be said, and you're going to hear much more from a few speakers today. Janice will speak, Rabbi Meyer will speak, and Marlene Cohen will speak, as well as Lori Sanford. But before closing, I just want to remark that for all of us who had the privilege of even encountering Pearl Cohen on a superficial level, it was a treat, because her countenance, her joy in her face, her expression, everything about her when you encountered her was sweetness, happiness, sympathy, and empathy, and a good person all around. Hine ma tov u ma na'im, how good and how beautiful and how pleasant it was to have known her, whether you knew her casually or you were one of her very close friends, dear relatives, or family. She will be missed by all. May her soul be bound up in the bond of life eternal. Amen.